Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook Sports. D. Mays, Willie D., how we doing? Happy Wednesday.
Happy, happy Wednesday. It's Hello. Sunny. It's wonderful. Nick, Willie's leaving on his PJ in a minute.
I know.
Not with his PJs on, but on his PJ.
He could wear his PJs if he wanted to.
He's on his own PJ.
I don't make the rules. Yeah. Exactly. PJs on a little PJ-ception happening.
I don't know how that would go over. It is a long flight. I would be comfortable. That's for sure.
Very.
It'd be nice to be comfortable on the long flight.
Get your cozies on.
Yeah.
Nick Kieser is here as well. How are we doing, Nick?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
All right, Predators get the win last night against the Vancouver Canucks. A 5-4 win in a shootout. But I we can get into that, and I want to start here because Pierre LeBrun put out in The Athletic this morning that the Predators have already started making calls about numerous players. It says David Poile is listening to numerous players on his roster to get a feel for the market. Now, that doesn't mean that these moves are going to happen. That doesn't mean that there are going to be moves down the line. I would expect there probably to be some sort of move. But all David Poile is doing at this point is doing his due diligence, and that's what you should be doing as a general manager, is getting a feel for the market. You know, trying to assess your roster, see what moves you could make, and see, you know, what if there are moves to be made out there. So that's kind of what I want to do today, because yesterday, Willie and Adam Vingan were kind of going back and forth about, okay, let's actually take a look at this roster. If we want to say all we want about buying and selling, and this is who David Poile should deal, those are all fine conversations. But now it's getting to the point where we need to be realistic. It's really easy to say, we want to get rid of these contracts, we want to get rid of these guys. Really easy to say that. It's a much more different and much more difficult conversation to say, okay, who are you going to deal them to? Who's picking them up? You can't just get rid of these guys. So I want to go through the roster, go through these contracts to see who would be an attractive potential trader with the Predators. And I think the one that feels most obvious, the name that's been in trade conversations really over the past few months, and the name that Pierre LeBrun points out in The Athletic, and that's Mattias Ekholm. Because at this point, he's got a couple years left on his deal. He'll be a UFA in 26. But he's 32 years old. He's making $625 a year. I would say that's probably your most likely tradable asset because he can get potentially first-round return from Mattias Ekholm.
Yeah, well, and look, this is all stuff that, you know, we were having this conversation yesterday, and then last night you win the game, and you had a really scary moment with Ryan Johansson.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the news of the day, is
definitely,
he's going to have surgery. Elliot Friedman puts that out there. It was tough because say what you will about Ryan Johansson, he has not had a great season. But he's a very important player for them. So you win the game. Your young players look really good. That's a positive. It was not a thing of beauty. They had trouble hanging on. But as we've said, these teams that are loose and scrappy, they've been winning games. Chicago beat Vegas last night. Montreal beat a team that needed to win last night, New Jersey. So upsets happen, and Nashville got the 2 points at the end of the night. They know that they've got to play better. But now they're going ahead, and, you know, we don't know the extent of the injury, but when you have surgery, and it was pretty clear what happened. It was a really scary skate blade to the lower leg.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tendons, muscles down there. I mean, that's not good, right?
Yeah, so I saw Teresa Walker report last night that he was walking off in a boot, limping. You know, yeah. He had crutches. I knew it was not going to be good.
So, you know, now again, you have to assess that when you're looking at your chances going forward. And you've got a couple of more. Eight of your next nine games are on the road, and most of them are against non-playoff teams. So this is really your chance to make a run, but now you have to do it without Johansson. So you have to, again, take that into account
and be realistic.
Well, yeah, and I guess we'll probably learn more about Forsberg in the coming days. I do hear some optimism that it won't be too much longer, but, of course, with his what you're dealing with, you can have a setback. Mm-hmm. We know how that can change the timetable. That's why you can't really get a definitive thing. I do think that it's a fairly good shot that Alex Carrier plays on this road trip. He skated with the team yesterday. He's a really important part of what they're doing defensively. They have not been the same team defensively anywhere close to it since he's been out. He's a huge part of that. But once again, you take all this into account. So now we get to Ekholm, right? With the 2 years left, and Elliot made this point the last time we checked in on him with that particular subject. I don't hear his name being floated out very much right now. I'm curious what that looks like in the next couple of weeks. But let's look at it from the other side. Mm-hmm. You want to contend. Mattias Ekholm is a bona fide top four shutdown kind of defenseman.
He's a core player on this team.
He has got the ability to come into your team and be a guy you could rely on for a deep playoff run. He's done it before. He's got tons of playoff experience. He goes up against the best players on the other team every night. And so if you're looking for a left shot D, he's got to be high on your list. But the question is, can you fit that salary into your structure, not just this year, but for two more years? That's really the big question. And so what are you willing to give for that? First round pick, okay. But if you're Nashville, is he worth more than that? Like, what's the...
Absolutely, I think he's more than that.
I think that's what it comes down to, is what is the best offer? If you start getting offers for him, is there something that's good enough to make you say, all right, we got to really consider this. We have to think about this. Because if I'm David Poile, I'm like a guy that goes into a car dealership. I wouldn't mind buying a car. I wouldn't mind. But I also have to be willing to walk away and say, I'm willing to also keep the car that I have.
Right.
You know, I'm not desperate. Like, sometimes you go to the car lot, and they know your car. Rolled your car in. It's not running. You have to get a new car, right? You're not in a very good position, mm-hmm. right? I think you have the ability, for if you're David Poile, to take a look, see what's out there. But also, look, I can easily hang on to Mattias Ekholm. He's going to be really good for the length of that contract, and I can pick up this discussion down the road. I also have to remember that Mattias Ekholm was very loyal to the organization. Could have walked at the end of the season a couple years ago. They could have traded him. Took a fairly team-friendly deal and said, without any hesitation, I want to raise my family here. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of money. I could have gotten more on the open market, but this is where I want it to be. That's got to be factored in a little bit, I think.
Nah, you say it does, but
sports, I know it's a business, right? Yeah, Derek is the that's a business guy.
I'm a realist in this situation.
Yeah, I get that. Throwing that out.
Yeah,
there.
No, I get it. And from the outside looking in, you would think, you know, hey, listen, the guy took a sweetheart deal, so pay him back. Don't even think about trading him. But this is a business. Mm-hmm. You chose to take the sweetheart deal, and you chose to stay, and we thank you for it. But now we're in a situation where we got to make some moves, and you're probably, other than UC Soros, you're probably the one guy that we can get, you know, something back for that's worth, you know, going out there and making calls and dealing
valuable
people.
Asset.
Exactly. So you're really the only valuable asset that we have other than UC Soros. Now, obviously, yes, some of the younger guys, but you don't want to start picking off your younger guys and sending them to other teams. You know, you want to keep your core young guys because you anticipate them getting better and them being a part of your franchise, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line. But a guy like Mattias, you know, 32 years old, I mean, yes, you did show some loyalty and we want to show it back, but we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. And loyalty is as far as I can throw you in sports. That's just what it is. No lie. People can scream loyalty this and loyalty that. But more than not, if I can throw you a yard, that's how far loyalty is in this game. So, you know, they just got to figure out now, I think, because you have Philip Forsberg down, because now you have Johansson possibly gone for the season. Where's this team going? We can hold on and hope that the younger guys pick up the slack, but we're 50 some games in, and this team is who they are. And now they lose another guy that they depend on each and regardless of how he was playing, they depended on him. And now he's gone.
Still a top six forward.
Exactly. Now he's gone. So where do you go as a team now? What do you do as a GM now? That another one of your core guys goes down, you're closer and closer to the trade mark. I mean, the trade deadline. Something else can potentially happen. Hopefully, God forbid, it doesn't. But you don't want to put yourself so close to that trade deadline where you can't do anything. You know, you get to the day and you people are looking at you like, nah, the other day we thought about trading and we wanted to, but nah, today I think we're going to pass and just move on.
The picture changes every day. Exactly. Like we saw, an injury like that, you know, that happens to Nashville, other teams could have similar things happen in the coming days.
You're stuck with Johansson for his whole contract now.
Yeah, and I think that was the case before the injury. He's got 2 years left. I don't think he had any trade value, really.
But even if you wanted to get rid of him,
he wasn't having a great season.
Even if you wanted to get rid of him, you're stuck now. You got to deal with it.
Well, remember, they exposed him to the expansion draft, so that told you everything you needed to know a couple years
ago. Seattle didn't even take him for free.
Right, and so he did, to his credit, bounce back, have a very good season last year, but still not the type of thing that if you wanted to trade him, you were going to get anything back or maybe even not even find a taker. But now, so I think that status has been, is almost status quo. But getting to your point on Ekholm, the other things that I'm looking at on the horizon, this team has some pretty good prospects at forward coming through the system. I don't know that very many of them are ready to help to come in right now and play. Next year, I think it's probably the same. I think a lot of their best prospects are still another year or so away from making an impact. Tomasino is the guy that I think now is really going to have a chance to take the next step. He had a nice game last night. He had his best game that he's had since he's been called up. He's going to be right in there now because without Johansson, Yusuf Parsonen will move back to center where he's another guy I'm excited about the opportunity he's going to have. He's going to get to play now, and he's been playing already, but he had to slide over the wing. Now his role is going to go up. Tommy Novak's going to get a great chance. Cody Glass, those are all guys that had really solid contributions last night, and now there's nothing to stop him. But on D, there's not a couple guys in Milwaukee that are ready to slide up there and come in and play. So they're kind of low on prospects on defense. So you have to factor that in if you're going to shop around Ekholm because, you know, I can look forward the next couple years and I can say, well, I'm going to have my top four. It's a pretty good top four. Yossi, McDonough, Carrier, and Ekholm for the next couple years. That's a pretty solid foundation. So once again, I'll put it like the car dealership. If I'm going in, I need to get a great deal out of that. Otherwise, I'm fine staying with Ekholm. That's just how I see it. I don't think it can be just, we just need to clear the contract. I think he's got enough value. Look, you got to show me that you're making me better in the short term and the long term with a deal like that because he's that valuable to the team.
And that's the difficult balance whenever you're looking to a trade deadline like this is it's tough to cut ties with players that are good and players that you love.
Yeah.
Because obviously, because they contribute for your team, and that's what Ekholm has done. He has been a core part of this team. But you're not going to get a return for guys that you want to get rid of. If you want to get rid of them, chances are nobody else wants them and is willing to give up anything for them. And that's the tough part of cutting ties with the guys that you like and that produce for you, is that you're losing that value, but you're also gaining capital to build for the future. Like, I think you could get two firsts for Ekholm. Maybe there's not a trade partner out there, but I think that's probably what the Predators would want in return for a player like that. And that sets you up for the future. So that's the difficult balance that you have to play, is cutting ties with good players is tough, but you get good stuff in return for good players. It's easy to say that you want to cut ties with Fabbro, but what are you getting in return for Fabbro? Who is going to want to pick up that contract
right,
for Fabbro?
It's a different category.
If you don't want him, chances are somebody else doesn't either. But let's continue to get into this conversation of what the Predators could do at the trade deadline. What would be a realistic return for some of the Predators' assets? We'll continue to get into that coming up next. And your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Well, David, to that point, just have you, as a staff, as a front office, have you reached a decision on the path that you want to go, or do you guys still need more time to see how this unfolds over the next few games?
Like an injury, we're day to day. We talk, every day about different situations, and I certainly could be influenced by somebody, having a desire to make a trade, whether we're talking about two different things, whether we're trading away a player or maybe we're acquiring a player. I think this is a great time of year in terms of, you know, the dialogue between managers, because you find out a lot more about everybody's team. You find out a lot more about their individual players, who they really like, who they would trade. So again, it's, you know, when it happens in terms of what we decide to do, it'll be probably pretty, I don't want to say pretty obvious, but, you know, right now it's still up in the air. It's still a gray area. I am repeating again that I'm talking to lots of teams, and you know, just, you never know what's going to happen. All I know is that we've got to win a game tonight, and we've got a couple more games, in my opinion, that can get us back into this race. So, for example, Calgary is a team that's ahead of us that we have to catch. So they played Philadelphia, a non-playoff team, last night, and they lost at home. So, you know, just looking at a lot of different things right now.
There you go. That was General Manager David Poile on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday morning. So, you know, any of that when he references yesterday, that was all on Monday. And, of course, he mentions Ryan Johansson. This was yesterday morning before Ryan Johansson's injury. Again, the news of the day that Ryan Johansson will need surgery, and he will undergo surgery today. So probably, you know, fair to say he's out for the season.
Yeah, I think sometimes you when you have the surgery, you're not sure when you start mm-hmm. the surgery exactly what you're going to see. You know it's not good, but
right.
you may not put a timetable on until you finish, you know, just see how extensive it is when you get in there. So, but still, I think it's safe to say it's going to be a while, mm-hmm. And it's going to affect, you know, what they're going to do. And, you know, you heard David Poile saying yesterday, if you were asking him the same question today, he would have to factor in what happened with Johansson, the fact that they won last night, but Minnesota also won. Mm-hmm. So the picture changes a little bit each day, and that's why I think you take as long as you can, and you don't know what's going to happen around the league in terms of, you know, are there going to be some other injuries that have teams thinking one way today, but then they wake up tomorrow after two guys get hurt or something happens, a goalie goes down, you see an opportunity, and now you went from being a, well, we might buy, to, man, we really are all in. We're going all in on this. We're going for it. You know, that could change. Take the greatest trade in Predators history, probably, which was Martin Erat for Philip Forsberg, basically. That was a last-minute thing that, you know, kind of went around, and then it was the day of the deadline that they offered Philip Forsberg, that the Predators asked for Philip Forsberg, and the Capitals at the time were like, you know what, we're going for it. We want Martin Erat. We want one more veteran. We're going to go for it. Yeah, we'll give you Forsberg. And that was a big mistake by them, obviously, and it was a great trade mm-hmm. for the Predators. So I'm just saying that sometimes when you're patient, you slow play it, you wait it out. That's maybe sometimes when the best offers can happen. So I don't think you hurry. But I think you just take it every day and say, how is the picture look? What are the offers I'm getting for certain players? And then you go from there.
And that's exactly what David Poile needs to be doing right now is, hey, I'll pick up the phone about anybody. That doesn't mean that I'm going to make that trade. That doesn't mean that that's a move that's going to happen. But it's, hey, what is the temperature like across the league? What is the potential return here? And I go back to, because I know a lot of Predators fans saying, you know, sell, 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 get rid of it, you know, get rid of the contracts. I hear you. I understand the frustration. But let's be realistic, because this is not just a business for the Predators. This is a business for every single team in the league. No team is going to want to pick up either contract or years on a player that's not delivering. So you say you want to get rid of Johansson, and of course, you know, the injury plays a factor into that. You say you want to get rid of Duchesne. Find me a team in the league that's going to be willing to pick up those contracts. That's kind of the delicate balance that you're looking at now.
I think the chances are zero on either one of those guys.
I probably agree.
Yeah. I think you'd be wasting your time if you spent time, you know, wondering, is that going to happen? I'm pretty certain that will not happen.
And that's
not at the trade deadline right now. I mean, that just won't. Definitely with Johansson's situation, mm-hmm. but I even think with Duchesne, there's zero chance that they could move him at the deadline. I don't think.
I would agree. And so, that's the unfortunate reality of
so
it.
It's really
so what are we talking about?
Well, okay, so but
that, so that's the question, right? So we mentioned Ekholm and the situation he's in. Mm-hmm. You've got a backup goaltender in Kevin Lankinen that has had a really good year, that was a starter, that would like to be a starter again. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. I do think he would be a valuable pickup for somebody. Now, I wouldn't.
But why would somebody trade for him if he's going to be a free agent?
Because you're trying to make a playoff run, and he could help you. He could upgrade, and even if he weren't your starter this year, if he would be a much better backup than what you have, which I think is safe to say, I think he's one of the better backups in the league right now. To me, that's because some of the other guys that they're talking about, for example, I was listening to Elliot's podcast today, Jonas Corposalo of Columbus. Columbus takes a lot of heat. They give up a lot of goals, right? The goalie numbers are not pretty, but Corposalo is a pretty good goalie that when they were good, he was good. He's played playoff games, and people are talking about him as a trade piece. So if you're talking about him as a trade piece, I would absolutely put Lankinen in the same category that he's been in. Now, Lankinen hasn't played in the playoffs before, but I just think if you look at his numbers, he would be an upgrade over a ton of teams' backups and a good insurance policy if something happened to your goalie. I think he would have some value. Now, what do you consider, like, if you're, you know, is it a second or a third round pick, a conditional pick, depending on how much he plays? I mean, that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. If you come to the point at the deadline where you feel like you're a seller, to me, he would be on a list. The interesting ones to me.
Really quickly, Willie, I don't mean to interrupt you. This is breaking news that just came out on Bussin' with the Boys. This is a tweet from Ben Arthur that the Titans have released Taylor Lewan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he knew that was coming, right?
So I think we all kind of knew that was coming, but it is now official that the Titans have released Taylor Lewan.
All right, so Taylor Lewan, he's available, backup goalie.
He's big enough.
That is true.
Just put him in the goal.
I don't know.
He likes hockey?
I don't know if he's athletic enough, you know.
I don't know how he skates.
On skates,
he grew up in Michigan, right? He probably knows how to skate somewhere in there.
Yeah, he looks like he has the figure to skate, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess. Put him in the net and see what happens.
A big old 300-pound lineman on skates.
I think that will be what we hear now, because remember the last time that, you know, he did the interview where he was basically saying, I'm weighing whether I want to play. I think he foresaw that this was coming.
Yeah.
This is not a surprise. The question is now, does he want to play? And if he does, is he interested in returning to the Titans at a lower pay scale? Does he want to test the market? Does he want to be a starter? Is it starter or retire? Or is he willing to be a backup? It sounded to me like he really wasn't interested in that.
And
the last time we heard him speak publicly on it, but we'll see.
And that's kind of the temperature that I've had on Taylor Lewan, is he wants to be here. He wants to play for the Titans. His family is here. So to me, it kind of seemed like Titans or bust. But of course, that can change. His mindset can change. Now that it's actually real, now that it's happened, he might think, you know what, I got a couple years left in me. I'm willing to take a very team-friendly deal just to be on a team and to continue to play and finish out my career. But to the Titans' point about, you know, do you want to bring him back on a very low deal, very team-friendly deal? I understand that thought process, but also, let's say he gets hurt again, which is a likely scenario, unfortunately.
The biggest question mark he's got, right?
Exactly, and that's exactly why the Titans couldn't commit to that much money. But if he gets hurt again, well, then that's still, whether you're paying him $2 million or $20 million, you're still not getting any production out of your left tackle.
I think the Titans are done with it. They're moving on. One, because, you know, since he signed that contract, he's been injured more times than not. And listen, it's not his fault. I mean, he's just got injured. His play declined. I don't think they're bringing him back, not even for $2 million, because you're right. Even at $2 million, I don't care, a million. If you're not available, that's $1 million we are on the hook for a guy that can't play. You know, and it's going to be hard for him to latch on to another team because he's coming off of an injury. Mm-hmm. So his days, unless he waits it out, you know, late July, August, you know, guys start going down, teams make, you know, make cuts and all this other stuff. He can be a guy that you can bring in and sort of be your backup at your left tackle or your right tackle position. But, you know, unfortunately, I think his days here with the Titans are done. And just maybe just his days playing in the NFL because of his injuries are done. And you hate to see that, you know, for a guy to end his career potentially injured.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the worst, one of the worst ways you can kind of go out of a professional league, whether it be hockey, basketball, baseball, whatever. You go out injured. and then nobody wants to sign you. So hopefully if he does want to play, he can play somewhere, but he has to be healthy first.
And that's kind of why I think that there might be a little bit of the fuel left in the fire of leaving on not on your own accord, of being injured, then you get released. Sometimes I feel like if you've been playing this sport for as long as Taylor Lewan has been playing this sport, sometimes I feel like you might say, okay, I still have something left to prove. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to walk out and I want to step away when I say I'm stepping away and I'm walking away. But also, again, I think that's kind of the understanding that we've all had is Taylor Lewan wants to be here and there's just not a place for him anymore.
Well, he's going to be here, but not on a team.
Yeah, not in pads. Yeah.
I think that is the sad reality. Yeah. We talked about it in the first segment, right? Exactly. Just the brutal business part of it, mm-hmm. right? And down the road, as an ambassador, as a guy that, you know, represents Nashville in a lot of ways, represents the Titans, when his playing career is over, I think he would be awesome in that role. But as a player right now, that's what you have to decide is he healthy enough? And if so, you know, what's the role? What's the contract? And that's all business.
That is all business. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The news, of breaking news, Taylor Lewan has been released by the Titans, which I think is fairly unsurprising news. But also, Ryan Johansson will undergo surgery today. What does that mean for the Predators? What they do with the trade deadline, a potential playoff push. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. So we got two pieces of news today. One, Taylor Lewan has been released by the Titans. I don't think that's really a surprise to anybody, and if it is, then it shouldn't be. But that is going to open up another area of need for the Titans. I think we all already understood that the offensive line was going to be a very, very high priority for the Titans. So we can kind of, you know, put that to the side. But again, Taylor Lewan released by the Titans, breaking news as of a few minutes ago. But the other piece of news is that Ryan Johansson will undergo surgery today. It was a slash on his calf.
Mm. Well, it's hard to tell exactly where it got him. Quinn Hughes sort of lost his balance, wasn't even facing Johansson, but so it looked like sort of a harmless play. And I mean, those skate blades are so sharp, they're like razors. Like, I'm actually thankful that it doesn't happen more.
Because
the equipment has gotten such that you have better protection than you used to from things like that, but there are still just certain areas where you can't have hard protective padding. You've got to be able to move your joints. So it was on the lower leg. It's hard to tell exactly whether it was right on the ankle or near the Achilles, anything like that. So I don't want to speculate on exactly where it got him, but you could just see it happened just in a split second. And Ryan knew it right away.
Yeah.
And he bolted over to the bench. He threw his gloves off, threw his stick, and you knew something was not right. Initially, during the broadcast, we were hoping it was just the blade of his skate got loose or something. He just needed an equipment thing, but that was not the case. And you couldn't possibly see it in real time. It happened so quick. And so, you know, then the more you look, then the next thing you know, they were sort of helping him down the tunnel.
Right.
And then you knew something was not right whatsoever.
And then coming out from Teresa Walker last night that he was on crutches, he was in a boot, he wasn't putting weight on that right foot. So you knew from there it wasn't going to be good. But of course, the news coming out today that he will undergo surgery. So in terms of, I really don't know how much this changes things in terms of the trade deadline. Maybe losing Ryan Johansson doesn't make you feel as optimistic as making a potential push for the playoffs. But other than that, I don't think that Ryan Johansson really had much trade value, if any trade value at all. So add on top of this injury, you know, just kind of it adds insult to injury, but it doesn't really make Ryan Johansson, you know, a shiny toy that's attractive to all of the NHL to all of a sudden, you know, a completely valueless asset. To me, it's kind of, you know, didn't have much value to begin with, and now it's just
you have no value.
You have no value at all.
Well,
right.
He wasn't going to get traded. I think where it affects your outlook, David Poile was saying yesterday, look, I want to see what happens. We've got some games here on the schedule. We did the math yesterday, and now we'll take away one game, which was last night, which was a win. The next 11 games, I think 9 of them are against non-playoff teams. So it's really your chance to get in there. Now, the flip side of that is down the stretch, the schedule does get tougher. You're playing much more of the playoff caliber teams, and you got to ask yourself, you know, what does your team look like? And so now you have to do that equation without Johansson. If you win the next four games, you're likely to make a little bit of jump in the standings. But the big question is, with Johansson out of the mix, what are the chances that my team can go? Now you have 27 games left. So they win last night. To get to 95 or 97 points, your record has to be 16-8-3 or 17-7-3. You know, that's really the question. And now with Johansson, your chances probably go down some. Not that he was carrying the team or anything. One of the biggest reasons they're in this hole is guys like Johansson and Duchesne, who really didn't make any impact on the game last night at all, but until the shootout goal.
Right.
And then you still don't have Forsberg. You're not quite sure when you're going to get him. You know, the top players have to be pulling their weight. Mm-hmm. But without them, you know, you don't have replacements. It's who you're bringing up from Milwaukee, right? So it's pretty simple, right? Your percentage chances of having that kind of 27-game stretch is probably not great. It's possible. Things happen, right?
Anything is possible.
Thing happens out of nowhere. Things happen that are unexpected. But you got to assess the realistic probability of that.
Yeah, possible, not probable.
Realistically, yeah, sure. This team is worse off now, today, knowing what we know today with Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg. We don't know when he's coming back. This team is worse off now than they were before the game yesterday. And if you're still waiting to make a decision on, okay, if we win this game, if we go this, if we do that. Man, just, again, I don't envy David Poile, don't whatsoever, but.
You have to just accept where you're at.
No, life is telling you. Yeah. Life is telling you, do what you feel you need to do with the team right now, because it seemed like it's only going to get worse. Now, guys that were not counted on, they're going to be counted on now. And it's not like this thing is going to turn around anytime soon. So, to me, if you can sell it off, sell it off. This team is not, and I hate to say it, unless there's some dramatical change, this team ain't making the playoffs. They're not. And I know it's hard to hear. I know they don't want to hear it over at Bridgestone, but the likelihood of this team, because there are so many other variables that have to happen, it's not just you winning. You got to worry about everybody else losing. And if I don't have my own, if I've always said, let's stress about the things you have control over. Everything else you don't have control over, don't stress about it, because you can't do anything about it anyway. Worry about the things that you can worry about, Nashville. And that's your team. You can't worry about what Minnesota's doing. Can't worry about what Calgary's doing. Because what if they keep on winning? And you keep on winning. You're still behind them, right? No matter what. So if you're trying to set this team up for the future, do it. I don't know if you can, but do whatever you need to do so this team can be in a position to win in the future. Because today, they're not. And that's, I hate to say it, and there are a lot of other people that are thinking it, and they are saying it. But whatever you can do to make this team better moving forward, like next year and the year after that, then do it. Because this team is not equipped. Even if they make the playoffs, then what?
Well, that's always the then what. There are some great stories of teams, and the Predators are one of them, that had a great run just barely getting into the playoffs. It happens more in hockey than any other sport. So I do think making the playoffs is significant. But I think the better question is the first one you answer is, what are my chances of making the playoffs, and what are the options of making my team better with smart choices, taking teams that are going for it, that are willing to trade good assets and assets that can help your team? I think that's what you have to assess, at least before the trade deadline. And then there's the whole assessment of what happens after the season, depending on, because there's still a lot of games left, 27 games, a lot of different things can happen. You could find out that, for example, Juuso Parsonen, who's now going to be one of the top centers going forward, he's going to have a tremendous opportunity. You might see where he goes. And by the end of the year, I'm like, wow, look at what we have here. You know, these are the kind of things that you evaluate with, especially with some of the younger players whose roles now are going to go up with Johansson unavailable.
I'm like, start playing the young players. Start playing your future. Start playing your future now. And if they get on a heater and win, then great.
Exactly.
If they don't, then you at least you know
and
what
they
you
have. Experience.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, we've seen it just in Tomasino's short period of being up in Nashville. You know, first game, he like, okay, he was fine. And then last night, had a much better game. So that's what I want to see. I want to see the young guys. And it's difficult to accept where you are, especially, Willie, to your point, when there are, 27 games left in the season. It's hard to assess where you are and say, you know what, I don't think that we're in a spot right now to make the push that we initially wanted to or expected to at the beginning of the season. It's hard to do that. But if you don't come to terms with those kinds of things, you may end up hurting the team. But let's continue to get back into this. Coming up next, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Plus, breaking news from the Titans. This is from Jordan Schultz, an NFL insider for The Score. The Titans have released Robert Woods. Another pretty unsurprising move from the Titans there. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360 will join us in 10 minutes. Robert Woods and Taylor Lewan both cut from the Tennessee Titans. I think that's pretty unsurprising news. And I think that there are a lot more cuts to come down. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bud Dupree get cut, if not the next few minutes, because the Robert Woods and Taylor Lewan cuts happen very, very close to one another. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bud Dupree get on the chopping block very soon. We'll get into that with Jonathan Hutton in 10 minutes. Willie will head out early today. He is headed on the road. He's going to the West Coast, headed with the Predators. So I wanted to get this in and get Willie's thoughts on this before he has to head out. And that's on the Alabama basketball situation. So I know that probably very few people in the city of Nashville care about Alabama basketball. But with this situation, I mean, this is a story that I think supersedes sports even. So we know the story of an Alabama basketball player who was on trial for murder, basically, for shooting and killing a young woman in Tuscaloosa. My understanding of the story is it was a former Alabama basketball player, Darius Miles, who was really, you know, not a huge player, more so a role player in Alabama's basketball team, who was arrested for shooting and killing a woman on the Tuscaloosa Strip. And they were on trial yesterday, and it came out that Brandon Miller, who is probably a consensus first overall pick in the NBA draft this year, far and beyond Alabama's best player. It came out yesterday that Brandon Miller provided the gun that that Darius Miles used to shoot and kill this young woman. Now, that's shocking news in and of itself. And beyond that was Nate Oates' comments and the fact that he admitted to knowing what happened with Brandon Miller and his involvement in the situation. And this was Nate Oates yesterday in a post-game press conference when asked about Brandon Miller and when asked about his if he had any knowledge of Brandon Miller's involvement. This was Nate Oates.
Involved with Darius' situation, just how comfortable were you with his proximity to that, and also if there's any NBA scouts who might be inquiring, what would you say to them about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've known the situation since it's been. We've been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. I mean, it's the whole situation's sad. I mean, you just think of it. We team closed practice with a prayer for the situation today. Again, knowing that we had this trial today, I mean, you think of Jamia and her family, and Kane, really think about her son Kane that was left behind. So it's sad. We knew about that. I mean, you know, can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he in any type of trouble in this case. Like, in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So we'll address it when I'm sure NBA scouts will ask. They do their homework. But yeah, I know, we think the article that it came out and also stated Brandon's been interviewed. He's, you know, they're comfortable with everything that happened there.
I'm sorry, wrong place at the wrong time when there is evidence that he was asked to bring a gun And he brought it and provided a murder weapon. Wrong place, wrong time. College kids do stupid things. I'm sorry, I did plenty of dumb things in college. I was never an accomplice in a murder.
But even that, he brought up draft and NBA. Like, what does that have to do with this young lady getting her life taken for whatever reason?
Yeah.
That's what it should have been about.
And the question was asked about the NBA scouts.
He should have been like, I'm not answering that question.
And I agree. I think he should not have taken that. I think he should have kept – he should have thought a lot more about what he was going to say about that. He since then has backed up. He has apologized and said, look, I screwed up. I should not have said some of the things. Yeah, that was not good. I'm also not any kind of a legal expert on – what the situation is with Brandon Miller, of course, is from Nashville, right? This is a guy that's got a bright, bright future. So I don't know the legal issues, but he has not been charged with anything. And they have had people from the law enforcement there that have been asked about his involvement. And they said, we have nothing to charge him with, which is surprising to me, just from sitting here, Mr. Layman, no idea, not Steve Layman, but Mr. Layman, I don't know anything about legal. But when I heard the news, I was like, oh, man, this may not be good for Brandon Miller. But I also wonder, too, you got the number one team in the country. Mm-hmm. And so how is this looming over the locker room, right? So to this point, they've continued to play great basketball as a team, even though this was a guy that played games for them. Mm-hmm. Miles, he was on the team to start the year. He's played games. And he's in this, and they've still, you know, on the court been a really good team. But now, as this ratchets up, how does it affect their play?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, you hate to hear something like this happen.
It's awful.
And, you know, your heart goes out to the young lady's family. Because again, it was a senseless murder for what, I don't know, but here's the deal. You had one guy, for whatever reason, I just can't wrap my head around that, but kids, it's just a different world now. You have one kid that asks another kid via text for a gun. First problem here is, why are you asking them for a gun? Okay. Second problem is, why do you have a gun on campus or even in your apartment? Why do you have a gun? Third problem is, if I'm Brandon Miller, I see my future right in front of me. Dude, what are you talking about? No. And you should second think what you're asking me to do. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not bringing you a gun for any situation. You know, those are the problems that I have. The first problem is you took a young lady's life, and then you're asking, but before that, you're asking another teammate for his gun, and then that teammate, for whatever reason, gives you the gun. Okay, why do you have the gun at 18, 17, 18 years old? Why in the hell do you feel you need to have a gun? You are at a university. I understand things happen at a university. I get that. But if you're going to be anywhere, just like we talked about injuries, if you're going to be anywhere, it's best you be on a athletic team. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever. Because they are there. They're going to make sure they take care of you. Whatever situation you got going on, they're going to make sure. If you're scared about anything, they're going to make sure they take care of whatever they need to take care of. Get the police involved, everything.
Especially a player of Brandon Miller's caliber.
Absolutely. So why do you feel you need to have a gun? I don't get that. That's the part I don't get. And then you chose to give that gun to another teammate. The minute you handed him that gun, you were an accessory. It's just like robbing a bank. If I'm driving you to the bank and you tell me what you're going to the bank for, you rob that bank, someone gets killed, you are an accessory.
That's what I would think, but legally, he has not been charged with anything, which is surprising.
Which is surprising because you gave him
the
gun.
I would have said the same thing you said from the outside. It really does look like that. Apparently, though, they don't have enough evidence, they're not going to charge Miller. It doesn't look like, unless there's more information that comes out as we sit here today. But, man.
But you've messed up your whole future. Even if you make it, even if they say, we're not going to charge you with anything, that follows you now, because this is what's going to happen. You may not get charged, and I sort of understand, because they say, well, you didn't actually do the killing. I get that part. But he's going to be charged, Miles. He's going to go to jail if it's proven that, you know, he's guilty. He's going to jail. But you know what's going to happen next? The minute you sign that contract, her family has every right to come after you.
And, you know, there will be a stain on Brandon Miller's reputation probably for the entirety of his career.
And it's just unfortunate.
There should be. There should be. Because even though whatever, you know, clauses in Alabama law don't allow them to indict Brandon Miller for what he did, it's still, you know, the law doesn't extend into your morals. It doesn't extend into your conscience that clearly didn't tell Brandon Miller that, hey, maybe this isn't the right situation to get into. And it extends to Nate Oates. I know that he is innocent in this involvement in the situation, that in the legal proceedings. Mm-hmm. But when I'm looking at a man who should be the moral leader for a team, and that's the way that he addresses a really gruesome and brutal incident that is plaguing this team, shame on Nate Oates and shame on the University of Alabama.
Brandon Miller, he should have been removed from the team. I'm not saying he should have been suspended from school. They should have removed him from the team. The minute they found out that it was his gun that was used as a head coach, you got to say, listen, we're not taking your scholarship away. We're not saying you can't go to – we are removing you from this team, because that's the best thing to do moving forward. Until we find out what's going on, you no longer can play. You no longer can be on the bench for us. You just can't. As much as the coach may not like it, that would have been the right thing to do. Again, I'm not asking you to suspend the guy from school. And if you would have done that, I would have understood. But at least remove him from the bench. You don't continue to let the guy play. That's giving a middle finger to the family of the victim. That's what he's doing.
I know Jonathan Hutton has thoughts on this, so we'll get into that with him coming up next. Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton, Caroline Willie, D-Mace 102.5, 106.3 The Game.